So grateful for our Lao here that they would come and share. Because, you know, it's when they dance like that, it shows the beauty of dance, but it also shows the beauty of God's redemption in our life. That God's redeemed us. He set us free. You know, as we jump into here of going into Good Friday, celebrating Palm Sunday, Good Friday, and Easter, you know, all of this season right now is to help us focus and remember what Jesus did for you. He died on the cross for you so that you are redeemed in his name. Amen. And this is something special that we get to jump into because I don't want to do anything else other than understand the truth of the Word of God. And the truth is that God's redeemed my life. God's redeemed my life. Not what anything that I can do or anything I have done, but it's through Jesus Christ that my life has been redeemed. You know, today I'd like for you to open your Bible or your teaching notes there. They're inside your bulletin. You can pull those out. I want to dive into God's Word because I believe the Lord has a special word for all of us today, including myself. I was able to really allow my preparation for this weekend to really minister to my own heart because God's doing something in my own life, and I believe he'll do something in your life as you receive from God's Word today. We're in this series, and we're going to continue on with this idea of how to build 10 times of everything in our lives. God wants to build us 10 times greater in different areas. Last week, we saw that God wants to build you 10 times in your wisdom, and so that you can grow in your wisdom every day to become more like him. And so that the world would look at you and say, wow, there's something different about you, like the world did with Solomon. Because Solomon was offered anything in the world, and he asked for wisdom. Well, today I want to look at how God wants us to build 10 times the endurance in our life today. Who here would like to have a little more endurance in life? Raise your hand. I know I would. I had the privilege of watching my daughter yesterday. She was competing at a track meet at Punahou, and she was going against all these schools, and all of a sudden, the 3,000 meter comes up. Oh, that's the time you typically take a nap, you know, and it's like as it goes on and on and on and on and on and on. And I'm thinking in my mind, as these high school students are running, how can they do this? How are they able to run and not grow tired? It's because they have an endurance in their life, an endurance in their body. So let's look at today how to develop 10 times the endurance in our lives. I was thinking about this teaching, and I thought of a subtitle. Just go with me. You might think in your mind, this is very elementary. That's okay. I might be an elementary kind of person. But I thought of a subtitle that sounds something like this. How do we run like champs when we feel like chumps? Who here has ever felt like a chump before in your life, okay? All three of you, praise the Lord. Okay, good. All right, the rest of you, you can talk to me afterwards. But I wanted to do this, and I want to look through this because I believe many of us, if not all of us, have felt like chumps once in a while in our life or sometime in our life, or maybe feel like a chump right now spiritually. I'd like for you to do an exercise with me. Grab your teaching notes, your pen. I'd like for you to evaluate your spiritual life. Now, in your evaluation, I don't know how you evaluate this. Maybe it's how close are you to the Lord right now, how close you feel. How well are you connected to the church and how are you serving? How are you doing in your disciplines, in your daily devotions? I don't know how you would evaluate it, but I know how I would. But I would like for you to evaluate. Do you feel like spiritually a chump or a champ right now in your life? Then I'd like for you to do this. I'd like for you to take your pen and write it down on your paper. Just say, you know, chomp. Now, if you're embarrassed of that, just fold your paper over and hide that portion of paper, okay? If you feel like a champ right now, just write down champ. I'm feeling good. Let's go take the world for Jesus. But I want you to do that because I want to go back to it later on. I want to refer back to that later on. Because I believe many of us, we feel like chumps because you think in your mind, man, I remember that scripture it talks about in Hebrews, where there's a crowd of witnesses watching me right now, and I don't feel adequate. I don't feel like I can live up to what they have done. I don't know if I can live my life according to what the Word of God says, let alone just be nice in this world. I'm reminded of that passage of Scripture in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. I'd like for us to read this Scripture because I think it's important for us to lay this down as the foundation for where we're going to go. Let's read this out loud together. Ready? Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to our life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. As I looked at this, and I thought, wow. As I was at this track meet yesterday, the stands are full, the athletes are on the field, they're ready to compete. See, some people, when they think of when they go into a stadium and they see all the people, they freeze. And there's others who would think, let's go for it. They get motivated. They're, let's go take the world. Just like this podium right here. If I invited some of you up to this podium right now just to say hi, you would melt down into a puddle and you would crawl off the stage in fear. But there are some of you, you would get up here, you kick me out of the way, take over the podium, and you would have a heyday. You would have a blast. See, we have different perspectives in this. And as we imagine this picture that we conjure up in our minds of these spiritual ancestors who have gone before us, they're cheering us on in our endeavor as we walk out our faith, this journey of faith. And we look at this and we think, wow, how can I do this? And so we think in our minds, that is the standard that God has for us. And so we feel like chumps a lot of times compared to these other guys that we would read about. See, in chapter 12, it talks about running this race, but actually in chapter 11, it identifies these ancestors. If you look at chapter 11, it lists out a bunch of different people. Or if you look at and identifies people like Moses. You remember Moses? Moses is the guy who led the people on Exodus out of Egypt, and he helped save the people. God used him. Not only did he save the people, see, God's people, he also went and put a staff in the water, and the Red Sea goes whoop like this, and the people walked across the Red Sea. Remember that story? Okay? That's an incredible story. What about someone like Noah? Noah is an obedient man. He built this huge ark because God told him to. Everybody mocked him, made fun of him, but he built the ark. He did exactly as God told him to do, God told him to do. How about Rahab? Rahab was a woman who hid the spies. She helped Israel capture the promised land. Just an ordinary person, but God used her in a mighty way. How about Gideon? Remember Gideon, the story about him? This man took 300 guys, and he went and defeated an army of 125,000 soldiers. See, in my mind, I look at guys like that, and I'm thinking, wow, those are incredible. But I'm just me. I'm not a Moses. I'm not a Gideon. I'm not an Abraham where God promised him that he had descendants that would number the stars in the sky. I'm not that kind of guy. And so I look at myself, and sometimes I feel like a chump. I feel like a spiritual chump in this world. And I'm thinking, Lord, I just can't do this. And God wants me to walk through a process and understand how I see life and how to run like a champion. See, many of us in this room today, we've been running and we've been dragging our hands on the ground feeling like I can't do this anymore. You've been making mistakes, you've been disappointed, you've been frustrated. And you walk into this church right here in the doors, you sit down and you say, I just can't do this anymore. You might not even say it to that extreme, but you've said in your mind, why am I doing this? I'm putting on an act. I'm not really living out my faith for Jesus Christ all the way through. And you feel like a chump. Well, I want to look at some of the things that we need to do today to run like a champion. Who here wants to run like a champion? Raise your hand. We all want to run like champions. We don't want to run like a loser. None of us do. I don't remember the last time I actually had fun losing. I like to win. I know you like to win. It doesn't feel good to lose. And God wants us to be champions. So let's look at how to run like a champion. So the first thing I want to look at is that we need to think about is to have a realistic picture of the road ahead. A realistic picture of the road ahead. Now, let me explain that because I want you to understand what I'm saying here. See, a lot of you think of your life and you see things of how you're called to live your life as a Christian. And then what you do is you actually get a mental image of what your life is supposed to look like. And you look like, you make it in your mind look like it's a straight arrow. I just keep going straight. I'm perfectly straight. And you think that's the standard that God has you to be at right now. And your whole life, your past has been straight. It has to be straight. And if it's not, you start to condemn yourself. You start to feel like a spiritual chump. rather than a champ. But the reality is our life is not straight. It's all over the place. Would anybody agree? It's up, it's down, it circles all around. We have made so many mistakes in our lives. God has brought us through this, he's brought us through that. And you can look back and you can see the squiggly mess all over the place. See, that's the realistic viewpoint of your life right there. It's going to be squiggly. Who here is going to make a mistake in the next week? Raise your hand. Well, praise the Lord for all two of you. For the rest of you, let me just tell you, you're going to make a mistake. See, we all make mistakes and we all make squiggles in our lives, but God wants us to understand something. He wants us to understand squiggles are a part of our life. So I'd like for you on your notes to write this phrase down. Ready? Embrace the squiggle. Embrace the squiggle. Well, come on, James, that's silly. No, it's not. It's the reality. We're called to embrace the squiggle because your life is going to be squiggly all over the place. There's no straight only. God is going to allow you to go here and there and circle all around. And he's going to allow you to go over here. You're going to make mistakes in life. And it's okay. Because God has brought freedom into our lives today. This is something the Lord wants you to understand. Just like the Apostle Paul. I love the Apostle Paul. What an amazing man of God he was here on earth. You know, he wrote most of the New Testament. On top of that, he was the first missionary in the church. He traveled all over that area there where he was, the Mediterranean, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. But he was in check with himself, and he understood who he was, and he embraced the squiggle. How do I know that? Well, I know what it says in the Word of God. It says in Romans 7, verse 15. Let's read this out loud. Ready? I don't really understand myself. I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. Have you ever felt that way? Why am I doing what I don't want to do? Why did I make that mistake again? Why did I do that stupid thing? Why am I acting like a chump? On Friday, I was with my oldest daughter and my youngest daughter, and we're driving around, and I just wanted to go. My wife loves Les Mis, and so it just came out that day. So I thought, let's go buy Les Mis for her, and so we went over to Safeway, and we're pulling into the parking lot, and I realized something about here in Hawaii is that parking spaces are a little smaller everywhere, and parking lots are a lot fuller everywhere. Has anybody noticed that, or am I the only Howley that knows that? And so I pulled into Safeway, and I knew in my mind, I just want to get in, get out. My wife was texting me, where are you guys? And I didn't want to spoil the surprise. And so I said, you guys, talking to my two daughters, hang out in the car here. I'm going to park, run in, get the video. I'll be right out. Minutes, no more. So I looked in, and there was a parking space. I thought, I'm going to take my car. Well, I got an SUV, a Honda Pilot, and it's a little bulkier, and I thought, I can fit perfectly in that spot. It's up close. I can get in, get out. So I pulled in, and I squeezed in, and I'm parked right in between the two white lines. So I checked out. I'm okay, good, I'm good. But then I knew I was in there very tight. I had to open my door, squeeze out of there. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And I'm like, oh, man, I need to lose 10 pounds. All right, okay, I'm out of here. And then I go in. I leave my two girls in there, and as I go in, I go straight to the movie, grab it. I'm in line, one person from buying this video. My two daughters come in, and one of my daughters is just crying. Tears filled her eyes. And she looks at me. She goes, Dad, the lady next to us that you parked next to, she told us that you better move your car. She's calling the police because you're too close to her. Then all of a sudden, I became angry. You know what I'm talking about? Why is my daughter crying, and who's the bully? And then I'm taking her out. So what I did is I handed her the video. I gave her my check card. I said, you make the purchase. I'll be right back. I went out there. I'm walking outside thinking in my mind. I had 10 conversations that took place in my mind before I even hit the doors outside. I'm thinking, I'm going to take this woman on. I'm going to teach her a lesson. I know I was in the white lines. I know where I was supposed to be. It's her parking job that was wrong. She's parked too close to me. I was ready to take her on. I get out there. She's standing next to the security guard. And I'm ready to go at it. And the Lord says, shut your mouth. No, I don't want to, God. Shut your mouth, James. Don't be a chump. Be a champ. No, I don't care if I'm teaching on it this week. I'm going to be a chump right now. I want to teach this woman a lesson because she's wrong for making my daughter cry. How dare her? The Lord said, keep your mouth shut. All right, I will. So I went out there. She's giving me this spiel about how my car was parked too close, and I'm looking at my car. It's perfectly in the middle. I'm looking at her car. It's right on the white line. I'm mad. I'm fuming. My face is probably red. My ears are putting off smoke. I know it. I know it. And I said to God, I made a deal. I will not say a word. But I looked at this woman like this. I shook my head. I looked at the line like this. I exaggerated. I went over to the other white line. Went. I got in my car. I backed it up. I pulled it on the far extreme part of the parking lot. I got in. I walked out. And I walked in there, and I got my kids. And the Lord says, you blew it. Yeah. What? What do you mean I blew it? You blew it. I told you to keep your mouth shut, but keep your actions in place. You blew it. But God, she deserved my attitude. She needed to be taught. You don't treat children that way. How dare her make my daughter cry? I can't believe she would do it. But James, you blew it. I was trying to help you make an impact on someone's life, and you blew it. You let your impatience get the best of you again. You let your anger get the best of you again. I've called you to be a champ, James, not a chump. And I feel like a chump. I said, Lord, I'm so sorry. I got my kids. I'm shaking because, you know, the adrenaline. I'm like, oh. And I really had to evaluate, Lord, how could I have done that differently? And I really felt the Lord say to me, James, you could have just gone out there and said, I am very sorry. Let me move my car. And that would have made her day. I thought, but Lord, that cost me my pride. Yes, it would have. Lord, why do I do the things I don't want to do when I want to do what's right? Just like Paul, he understood this, and he understood that scenario. And the Lord says, I want you to be a champion in this world. I want you to be who I've created you to be, not who you want to be. And so the Lord is challenging all of us today to keep our heart right, so that we can be people that would have a right perspective. You're going to make mistakes. Embrace the squiggle and allow God to teach you along the way how to become more like Him. Amen? Amen. See, I walked away from that situation embarrassed. I mean, I shouldn't have parked there probably. I don't know. I had a big car. I should have parked over there. But beyond that, I realized, James, there's areas in your life that aren't in check sometimes with Jesus. And I have to keep my heart right. Even if my daughter has tears in her eyes, I could have taught my daughter something better than I did. I could have taught her how to love somebody even when they come against you. But you know what? The Lord's going to give me another chance to make that point in my daughter's life. Amen? So we're called to embrace the squiggle. I look at lives like Moses. You know, we look at Moses and we look at all these guys. You know, Moses, if you look at him, he had squiggles all over his life. Do you know when he was addressed and identified by God in the desert? Do you know why he was in the desert? Because he was a fugitive. You know why? Because he was a murderer. Do you think he had some squiggles in his life? I think so. How about Noah? I love Noah's life. One of the most obedient men in the Word of God. Builds his ark, brings in all the animals, establishes so that we're here today. But you think about Noah, once they hit dry ground, guess what? He went and got drunk, and then they found him naked in his tent. You didn't hear that in Sunday school, did you? You didn't see that on the flannel board, did you? I thought about it to myself. It'd be a great Sunday school class to go to titled Flannel Board Stories You Never Learned in Sunday School. Could you imagine? No, I can't imagine. I'm going to leave that one out, all right? How about Gideon? See, Gideon, when he was identified and addressed by the angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord came and said, hey, mighty warrior. Mighty warrior? Me? No, you got the wrong guy. He was in hiding because he knew what was happening all around him, and he went into hiding because he did not want to get involved. He was afraid, and he said to the angel of the Lord, no, you got the wrong guy. My family, we're the wimpiest, kind of smallest family in all the tribe. We're sissies, and I'm the smallest of all in my family. I'm like Pee Wee Herman. You got the wrong guy, and the angel of the Lord says, mighty warrior, I'm going to use you. I'm going to use you today. He had squiggles in his own life. Well, you look at Rahab. She was a prostitute. And God used her life to make an impact. So if we allow ourselves to get caught up with the crowd of witnesses and realize that these guys are people that are identified in chapter 11 of Hebrews, they had squiggles of their own. Their life was all over the place, and God used them. So no matter what you've done, where you've been, and what you've said, God wants to use you today. He wants to build something special inside of you so that you can continue to run in such a way. Run a race with endurance to achieve and accomplish the race that he has set before you. He has a prize for you at the end. So that's one. But let's look at number two here. If you want to run like a champ, even though you feel like a chump sometimes, you need to have a realistic picture of the road ahead, but you also need to replace performance with forgiveness and freedom. Forgiveness and freedom. You know, many of us here today, we feel like if I perform enough, if I do enough, then God will be pleased with me. You cannot work your way to heaven. You just can't do it. You will never be able to achieve that. You have to understand this. Is that you've been forgiven and been given freedom through Jesus Christ. Can I hear an amen on that? When I say amen, that means we're just in agreement. This is something that the Lord has something for you today. So we understand that God has given us forgiveness and freedom. If you haven't memorized scripture lately, here are two scriptures I would love for you to memorize before Easter. Let's read Colossians chapter 1, verse 22. Ready? Now he has reconciled himself to you through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. See, here's the deal. No matter how squiggly your life has been, no matter where you have been, no matter what you have done, Jesus has forgiven you. And now he has given you freedom to live your life according to his plan. What an encouragement. What an empowerment into our lives. That he has wiped away my past and he has established my future. Let's read this next scripture together in Galatians 5, verse 1. Ready? Christ has truly set us free. So make sure you stay free and you don't get tied up again to slavery of the law. See, there were as many laws in the Old Testament, laws on how to brush your teeth, comb your hair, and all, 600 laws to identify you as separated and that you are God's people. When Jesus came, he abolished the law and he brought forgiveness and freedom so that we can follow Christ. But there are still things that are rituals in our life, per se, that we continue to live out. One is that I read my Bible every day. This is something that of not an option. God's word is being digested into who I am. I know how much Jesus has done in my life. So how much more should I dive into God's word and understand who he is and hunger for this more than anything in the world? This should be a top priority of our lives. Also, I'm called to serve, so I serve. I do it every week, every day. I know that God's called me to serve because I know how much he has served me. You know, do you know that Jesus says this? that he didn't come to be served, but to what?
Serve.
Let's say that again. To what?
Serve.
Serve. So if Jesus is our model in life, how much more should we be following that model? Especially if I know and understand how much he has done for me. He has done so much for me. I also love, my wife and I love to do this, and we've been doing this forever, is we love to give. We love to tithe. We literally look forward to tithing when we have every month. We tithe. 10% we give back to God. And I'm thinking in my mind, Lord, you have given me so much freedom. You have given me so much in my life. How much more should I tithe and give back to you? So these are rituals that I continue, but it's because of the freedom that I have found in Christ. It's because of what he has laid out and what he's done in my life that I do these ritual things in my life. Not because they're laws. So how encouraging is God to us that he allows us to just draw nearer to him, that my service to him is because of my appreciation for what he has done to me and done for me. So let's look at number three here. I like to look at the third thing we need to do to develop 10 times the endurance and run like champs is to look to Christ continuously. Continuously. I believe that today as we step out in faith, as we walk in obedience, we're called to look to Jesus all the time. To know that he is here for us. It says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says this, we do this by keeping our eyes on who?
Jesus.
On who?
Jesus.
The champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding his shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. See, here's the great thing that Jesus says this in Matthew. He says, and be sure of this, I am with you always. Always. Even to the end of the age. See, a lot of us here today, you are living your life with a mindset that you have come up with that Jesus is in heaven saying this, good job, my son, good job, my daughter, keep going, which is not true. Some of us here, we have a mindset we have conjured up in our minds that we're thinking Jesus at the finish line saying, come on, guys, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, you can make it, come on. And once you get here, I'm going to put my arms around you and we're going to go home together and we'll feel good about ourselves. And that's not the truth. Because Jesus is not in heaven watching you, cheering you on. He's not even at the finish line, hoping and bringing you to the finish line. He's running the race with you. He's right there by your side. So if you're here today and you feel like giving up and you're here today feeling like, I can't do this any longer. You're here today and your walk with Jesus is just kind of floundering. Today, he says, I am with you always. I have never left you. I will never forsake you. I love you so much. I have not given up on you. When I was a kid, my parents, they were special people. They raised us well. I think I came out of the womb saying, praise the Lord, hallelujah. I was a Christian my whole life. And my mom led me to Jesus when I was very young. They prayed over me. My grandma prayed for us every single day, every single day. She had times of praying for her grandkids every single day. So I know Pastor Wayne's testimony. My testimony is different. I had a family that have faithfully gone before me. They raised me up in the ways of the Lord, and I'm so grateful for that. But in my house growing up, we had our family room. And in the family room, we had this one wall. My mom had every Christian plaque made for men, all right, and women. It was there. And it had every picture. It had Jesus like this. It had the Last Supper. It had all these little poems. And it had all these flowery stuff. And it had all these little clay people. It was crazy. And I remember trying to avoid that room when my friends would come over. But there was one poem that stuck in my mind. This poem that really made an impact in my life. Remember this poem called Footprints? Remember that? See, I don't want to dumb you down, but there was something of that poem that really made sense to me. I remember it. I'm going to paraphrase it, but it's a poem that goes something like this. There was a man who had a dream, and in his dream, He was walking with the Lord on the beach, and they walked down the beach. Moments of his life started to shoot before his mind. And in this dream, as he starts to picture it on his journey, there's two pairs of footsteps walking side by side in this journey. And all of a sudden, these thoughts of his life keep shooting before him. And then all of a sudden, he starts to see the very difficult times of his life go before his eyes. And then he realizes, instead of two pairs of footsteps, there's only one in the most difficult times of his life. And then he turns to God and says, God, what happened? In the most difficult times of my life, you ditched me. You left me all by myself to walk this journey on my own. And God lovingly responds to him, and he says, my child, I did not leave you in your moment of need. For it was when you needed me the most, I carried you. Can I just say, there's some of you in this room today, God's carrying you right now. You're wounded, beat up. You feel destroyed. You're going through this Easter season thinking, I need a resurrection in my life. Right now, my marriage, even my hope, my endurance, there's nothing left. I need Jesus. And he comes alongside, he picks you up, and he carries you through the journey. See, that's who our Savior is. See, in your life right now, you might feel like a chump, but Jesus wants you to feel like a champ. I'd like for you to be left with a final thought, a thought for the week, and I'd like for you to write this down. This thought is this, is that Jesus is in the business of turning chumps into champs. Now, you might be thinking, I get it. See, some of you wrote down the word chump on your teaching notes. I'd like for you to do me a favor. Look at that word, take that U, cap it off, make it into an A, and know that Jesus sees you as a champ. See, Jesus sees in you what you don't see in yourself. And he sees you as a champ. He wants to build inside of you. He wants to empower you with endurance to keep on running. Some of you, you've already made the decision to give up. Some of you here today, you've given up on your marriage. You're done. You're just living it out for a few more weeks or months, and you've just given up on it. The Lord says, don't give up. I want to give you endurance to keep on going. Some of you here today, you've even given up on your faith in Jesus Christ. You're saying, I'm done. It's not worth it anymore. It's too hard. I don't like the persecution. I don't like the hard work that it requires. And the Lord says, don't give up. I'm here with you. Some of you here today, you're not healthy physically, and you're just done. You're done trying to fight for your health. And the Lord says, don't give up. I'm here with you. I'll carry you if you allow me to pick you up. He wants to make you a champ today because that's how he sees you. Amen? Amen. Amen.